The epistle for the Feast of Pentecost is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. When the days of Pentecost were accomplished, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a mighty wind coming, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them parted tongues as it were of fire, and it sat upon every one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with diverse tongues, according as the Holy Ghost gave them to speak. Now there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded in mind, because that every man heard them speak in his own tongue. And they were all amazed and wondered, saying, "Behold, are not all these that speak Galileans? And how have we heard every man our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews also and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We have heard them speak in our own tongue the wonderful works of God." In the Holy Gospel. It's taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and will make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my words. And the word which ye have heard is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things have I spoken to you, abiding with you. But the Paraclete, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your mind whatsoever I shall have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. You have heard that I said to you, I go away, and I come unto you. If you loved me, you would indeed be glad, because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it came to pass, and when it shall come to pass, you may believe. I will not now speak many things with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and in me he hath not anything. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father hath given me commandment, so do I." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. The Paraclete will teach you all things. And these words are taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Imagine, my dear faithful, what it must have been like to sail the great seas before the invention of any navigational devices. That is, to sail in an age even before the compass was invented. We read about certain marines in histories of the ancient Assyrians and Babylonians. In their voyages, these sailors would find themselves in the middle of vast seas. Looking around them and across the horizon, these sailors could see nothing but water. These sailors, of course, relied on the stars to help them navigate. However, the stars were only of assistance at night and if the sky was clear. And so the sailors had to rely on something else. They brought a cage with them. And whenever the sailors wanted to know the direction or the distance to land, They released one or two doves from this cage, which they brought with them. And the dove would quickly wing its way above the storm clouds. And there, far above the ship, but still in view of the sailors, the bird circled, looking for the nearest land. And in a few moments, the dove, like an arrow, would fly toward the nearest land. And the sailors, seeing this, would then post the prow of the ship in the same direction, using the dove as a certain guide toward land. It is actually said that in many countries, such as India and China, sailors and fishermen still use doves or some type of bird as a sure guide toward their destination. And we also read in the Old Testament that Noah used a dove in a similar way. After 40 days and nights on the ark, Noah released a dove to see if the waters had receded. On the first occasion, the dove, not finding dry land, returned to Noah. But the second time Noah released the dove, it returned holding a branch in her claw, thus indicating and revealing to Noah that there was land nearby, even though Noah could not see it. My dear faithful, the use of the dove in this way portrays, in a certain sense, the Holy Ghost. In fact, in the Gospels, the Holy Ghost is often referred to as descending in the form of a dove. For the dove, even before the time of Christ, has always been a symbol of love and devotion. And as we see from Noah and sailors of ancient times, the dove has always been used as a guide, just as the Holy Ghost is the guide for our souls. Today is the great feast of Pentecost, in which we recall the descent of the Holy Ghost upon the apostles. And so I would like to talk to you today about the Holy Ghost, for the Holy Ghost is often forgotten. We do not think of the Holy Ghost as we do the Father and the Son. And sometimes we forget all that he actually does for us. After the ascension, the apostles were sad that our Lord, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, had left them. And our divine Savior told the apostles in so many words, he said, "I know you want me to stay, but I have redeemed you by my death and resurrection. I have opened the gates of heaven for you. I have given you the sacraments. And now you must be sanctified. Now you must become saints to get to heaven." But our Lord knows that we cannot do this ourselves, that even with the sacraments and his example, we will still have a hard time accomplishing this great task. So our Lord, in so many words, promised. He said, "I will send the Holy Ghost, who is the advocate, that is, the helper. It is his mission to strengthen and enlighten you, to help you keep your faith and grow in virtue, and ultimately to guide you to heaven." And as you recall, my dear faithful, after our Lord ascended into heaven, the apostles then waited in the upper room. And they were full of fear of being persecuted, and they were full of doubt as to what to do. But on the first Pentecost, we see a great change in them. After they were filled with the Holy Ghost, the apostles became strong and courageous, certain and zealous. They went forth out of the upper room, guided by the Holy Ghost, the divine dove. And having been taught all things by the Holy Ghost, these once fearful men now boldly preached the teachings of Christ, and they converted just in one day over 3,000 people. The same men they feared being persecuted by, the apostles were now converting to Christ because they were strengthened and guided by the Holy Ghost. My dear faithful, the Holy Ghost is so important in our lives as well. For as I mentioned, he is the one who sanctifies us. And we do not always realize that the Holy Ghost actually dwells in our soul with sanctifying grace. And he continually works in our soul to make us saints. In fact, this is one of the reasons why the church does not allow cremation. Because the Catholic body has really been, since its baptism, and when preserved in sanctifying grace, the Catholic body is, so to speak, the temple of the Holy Ghost, the dwelling place of the third person of the Blessed Trinity. And thus, the body, or we might say the tabernacle of God, must be treated with respect and properly buried. And so the Holy Ghost works and dwells within us to strengthen us, to enlighten and guide us, to sanctify us. And this is why our Lord sent to us the Holy Ghost. That is his specific mission, to sanctify us. For you see, my dear faithful, life is like a sea. And we are all sailors trying to make it to our destination, that is, heaven. And sometimes we feel lost. Sometimes we are storm-tossed. And often we are uncertain of the path to take. We will have doubts in life as to what to do, how to raise our children, how to win family members back to the faith, what road we should take, doubts even about our duties in life. But it is then that the Holy Ghost, like a dove, soars above the clouds of doubts and uncertainty, and leads us to the way of safety and security. In those trying situations, those trials and crosses we have to deal with, the Holy Ghost strengthens us. And if we cooperate with grace, he helps us bear these crosses courageously and patiently. And he does this without our knowing it or even thinking about it. He is continually working in our soul. And so, my dear faithful, let us pray to the Holy Ghost, asking him to enlighten us, especially in those trying situations. And let us strive to make this a practice every day. And we can do this by simply praying, "Come, Holy Ghost. Come, Holy Ghost, enlighten me. Show me what to do." Now, we may not receive light immediately, or sometimes we may not even realize that we have been enlightened. We probably will not feel enlightened or strengthened. But we can always rest assured that if we are in the state of sanctifying grace, that the Holy Ghost is there for us, and that he will take care of us and guide us. And this indwelling of the Holy Ghost within our soul should be a source of consolation and should give us hope, especially today when it is so hard to fight temptations, to persevere in our in our duties, and to deal with the stresses of raising a good Catholic family in this very immoral world. We can easily become discouraged and anxious. And sometimes we pray, and sometimes it seems like our prayers are fruitless, or that our prayers aren't even heard. But St. Paul writes some very hopeful and consoling words about the Holy Ghost regarding our prayers and difficulties in life. St. Paul says, "We groan and travaileth," that is, we suffer in pain even till now. That is, we suffer and are burdened with the struggles of life. Even though, St. Paul continues, even though we have the first fruits of redemption, meaning that even though we have the sacraments, the Mass, the source of graces, we still have difficulties and troubles in carrying the crosses of our daily life. At times, St. Paul writes, we do not know what we should pray for, or we do not even pray as we ought to. Sometimes our prayers are filled with distractions, or because we are weak, we do not always pray as we should. But the Spirit, that is, the Holy Ghost, St. Paul says, the Spirit helpeth our infirmity, helpeth our weakness, and the Holy Ghost himself prays for us. He prays for us with unspeakable groanings. And this is St. Paul's way of saying that the Holy Ghost vigorously works and helps us to make our prayers fruitful and heard. And so let us, my dear faithful, take consolation in this, on this glorious feast of Pentecost. Let us pray to the Holy Ghost and really remember his presence in our soul and his mission to help us get to heaven. Let us often pray those simple words, "Come, Holy Ghost," beseeching him to enlighten us, to strengthen us, and to help us, so that we, my dear faithful, can accomplish the only thing that really matters. That is the salvation of our souls. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.